Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
What a wonderful privilege it is to gather together with the body of Christ this morning and to welcome all of you that are watching via webinar internet. Welcome. Just feel in my heart that we should begin the service this morning with these prayer requests. There's only a few, but we'd like to bring them before the Lord. And I've asked Nat if he would join me. And so we'll just open with a word of prayer first and for the meeting, Brother Nat, and then we'll take these prayer requests.
Our Heavenly Father, we're just so very thankful for the moving of your Spirit at this camp. We're so thankful for not just the instruction, but Lord, the Holy Spirit that has been moving in our midst and plucking at our heartstrings and encouraging us to enter in deeper with you, Lord.
Yes.
We just pray this morning, Lord, as we yield to you and look to you, that your Holy Spirit will move again in a way that will meet every need here that's here today. And the needs that are amongst those that are watching us, Lord, on the internet, Lord, may your hand and your Holy Spirit reach out to touch them and to meet their needs this morning, Lord. Bless us as we meet here. May all be done to your praise and honor and glory. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please play for Skylar York. On the obstacle course, he spread his muscles in my toe, making it hard to move. Later, I landed on my ankle wrong, twisting, making it hard to put shoes on. And lastly, many previous dislocated shoulders have started bothering me. Please pray for a quick recovery and that it will not affect my remaining track season. And yes, we will pray for Skylar. So let us stand together today. And try to shut out the rest of the world and concentrate and intercede for these various requests as we bring them before you today, that God will hear and answer our prayers and touch and heal, and that we will hear the testimonies from the different ones that have been prayed for, not only this morning, but all during the camp. And if we hear these testimonies, let us not be hesitant or forgetful to thank God for the miracles that he's performed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Our Heavenly Father, Skylar has injured himself and is struggling with a number of different issues with his feet, and his shoulder has been going out of location, and he's involved in a track season this summer, and these things can hinder his ability to run like he should and all the other events that he participates in. We just ask today, as a corporate body of believers that believe in the healing power of Jesus, we ask today that you would just answer Tyler's request, that we would touch and heal him, and these injuries that have happened from in the past will heal quickly, and then they will not hinder his track season. We ask this now in Jesus' name, amen.
This is a request for Mary Aiken and Esther Ball. And the request says, I would like you to pray for my two sisters who have been suffering from different needs. My sister Mary has had many problems, including recurring headaches and other health issues that have taken her strength and have dogged her for the last several years. She faithfully plays piano for the church. My other sister Esther has been having trouble with her heart, and they haven't been able to figure out what is wrong with it. Both sisters are believers and humbly walk with God. And this is from the Payette Assembly, Mike Greif. Let's just lift up our hands for Mary and Esther this morning. Lord, we pray for these two ladies who are part of us, Lord, and have been walking with you for many, many years, humbly before you, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
And Lord, many times we have these recurring chronic things, and we think, oh, we've been to the elders and we've been prayed for before, and Lord, we want to bring these needs to you, and we ask, Lord, for Esther and for Mary especially, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will raise up a standard against the enemy, Lord. Lord, may Mary, who has been dogged by these things for many years, maybe she feel a release by your anointing, even right where she is now in Payette. May your Holy Spirit go out and minister to her, Lord, and lift this burden off of her, Lord, and let her be free this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. And for Esther, Lord, the doctors may not know what's wrong with her heart, but you do, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name you will move by your mighty power and reach down and touch her body and heal her and make her every whit whole, Lord. And we pray for others amongst our midst who have been struggling, Lord, with these chronic and long-lasting things.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, may you break the yoke off of them, Lord. For your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And we pray in Jesus' name that you will touch us this morning, Lord, and let us walk free in your spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. This request is for Thea Hansen, the daughter of David and Kimberly Hansen. The request reads as follows. Thank you for your prayers for Thea at Feast this year. Thea did have surgery to place tubes in her ears, which ran into overtime and more viscous fluid than usual. Please continue to pray that a hearing test in August shows increased hearing. And pray with us that God will do what the doctors cannot do. And that's submitted by Paul and Diane Amundson and Gay and myself. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what the doctors can do. You're the one that have given them that ability, and you've given wisdom and knowledge to the medical professionals, and we do thank you for that. But Lord, we also thank you for your healing power.
Yes.
Because it doesn't matter what a doctor does, the healing has to take place, and you are the great healer.
Yes.
Lord, we just remember our little dear Thea before you. We
yes.
pray that her hearing will continue to improve, and when he has the test in August, they will say it's 100%.
Yes,
we covet this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. This is a request from our brother Roger for his friend Rob Matthews. It's kindly pray for my friend Rob. He's a man of faith, a member of a prayer group that I attend. Rob carries an oxygen tank and has numerous ailments, yet is a very strong Christian. And although has been lacking in health, he strives for Jesus, but he's broken his hip and he needs a touch from the Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we remember Rob this morning, Lord. A man of faith, a brother in Christ, and we pray in Jesus' name. Lord, you will touch this hip, that you'll, Lord, cause it to be knit together even right now, Lord. You'll strengthen him in these other ailments that he's striving with, Lord. Oh, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus for our brother and pray in Jesus' name. You will touch him. You will heal him from all of these ailments. You'll give him life. You'll give him encouragement. You'll give him hope, and your peace will be upon him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. This request is for Brandon. Brandon will be released in a few days from a local youth jail. He has no family who are appropriate to him. He loves the Lord dearly and is terrified about returning to the streets without Christian housing. He desperately needs a miracle in his life. Yes. It's presented by Brian Hannigan, Dwayne and Lisa Olson. Lord, we bring Brandon before you today. And one thing we know, that you are willing to go before us and prepare a way. There, you are the one that can help Brandon today to have peace in his heart.
Yes,
so that when he is released, he will know that you are taking care of him. We, because he loves you, we love him too. And we place our arms around him by reaching out to him today. And we ask that the power of the Holy Spirit will just energize him and increase his faith, and that the peace of God will be upon him, and that you will take care of every need that he has, as you have said that you would do. And we do this and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
My daughter Rachel put in this request for her friend and worker Melanie. Melanie's just been a real help to her and a dear, dear friend. And she struggles with a lot of viral infections, has had health problems all the way along. Now with this virus attack, she's got pink eye now too that she's struggling with. She's quite discouraged and she'd like a return to good health. Let's just pray for her this morning. Heavenly Father, we bring Melanie to you this morning, Lord, and you know how discouraging it is to be plagued with these continuing viruses and problems. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name you'll touch that immune system of hers, Lord, that you'll strengthen her. And more than that, Lord, we pray you'll fill her with your Holy Spirit. And as she turns and looks to you, Lord, you'll just strengthen her in body, soul, and spirit, Lord, and set her up upon her feet, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name for this heavenly touch upon Melanie, Lord. And may she know it's even you that's touching her, as Rachel testifies to her about the prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Nat. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. For some reason, and I can't explain it, but I was walking up here, the scripture came to me. But before I read it, I want to tell you something. For those that are not familiar with how things operate, also, I want to say that I've been absolutely amazed at the way God has been ministering through us, through song and worship and from the Word. Brother Luff will use an expression from time to time, and it just was so clear that as the different brethren were ministering from the Word this week, it seemed like they just fit together like hands in a glove. But I want to tell you something. Not one of this brethren got on the phone and spent time visiting with each other, talking about what was on our heart and what we were going to minister before we came here. That is God moving by His Holy Spirit. And the worship service, they've been so uplifting and so wonderful. And we've been reminded of the importance of worshiping God with our mouths and expressing that appreciation to the Lord. And the singing has just been, I don't know how you can describe it. I mean, words can't describe it. And just to give you an example, Brother Crafton, before the traveling elders and traveling deacons meet together for a time of prayer before each meeting, and it took a while before anybody felt they were prepared to lead the meeting yesterday. And then right at the end, Crafton said, well, I think I could stand up there. And I spoke to him later, and he said that He didn't have a song in his heart. He had nothing. It just seemed like he felt he should say that he would be willing to begin the meeting. And as he came in here, a song came to his heart, and just one after another like that. No hesitation. We had that beautiful choir. It sounded like a choir from heaven. Amen? That is the moving of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And some reason, I feel to read this scripture, and I hope it is the Holy Spirit that tugged it in my heart. Romans 10. Romans 10. Verses 8 to 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes. Amen? Unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto unto salvation. With the mouth we express to others that we have experienced the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's one of the reasons we are gathered here today in the house of the Lord. Psalms 109:30 says, I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Amen? With our mouth. Yes, we praise the Lord in our thinking. I think we often do that. We pray silently, and we'll, as we're walking or driving, we will often just be quietly just thanking the Lord. But David put great importance on praising the Lord with our mouths. He said in Psalm, he wrote in Psalms 100, I think 66, he said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Or in some translation it says, make a joyful shout. I like that. Psalm 67 and 3, let the people praise the Lord. Let all the people praise the Lord. Do you see? Did you hear my emphasis on the word all? Is anybody here not included in the word all? Put your hand up, please, if you're not included in the word all. I don't see one hand in the whole congregation. Amen. I will declare your name to my brethren, to my brothers and sisters, in the midst of the congregation or assembly, I will praise the Lord. That was David's determination. He was determined to do that because he knew the benefits of praising the Lord. Amen? And then in verse chapter 47 and 1, David wrote, he says, oh, clap with your hands. They are instruments that we can use to praise the Lord at the appropriate time when God leads our way. And we saw it yesterday, so beautiful. Then the next part is this. It says, oh, clap your hands, all you people. And one of the things that was ministered at the beginning of the move is that when the Spirit is moving, we all move together with the theme of how God is leading the meeting. And if there's that spirit of clapping, we all clap. Amen? If the spirit of singing, we all sing. We don't start prophesying. We don't start doing something else. We join in together. And when the spirit of prophecy is on the meeting, we wait before the Lord. And if the Lord indicates that we are to prophesy, that is the time to prophesy. God has in specific order, and he moves by his spirit upon his people, touching them from different ones, and they proclaim the word of the Lord that's in their mouth. Amen. We've seen such wonderful prophecy here in our midst today and this week. Amen. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. You know, I think if there was ever a people that should be smiling all the time, it is us. You know, in our human nature, you know how it is. In the morning, sometimes we can be not quite awake, right? I'm going to tell you a funny story. When our son, David and Kimberly, were married, they'd been married about 6 months. And they were over, and they were sitting around the table, and I said, "How are you two getting along? How are you in your marriage?" And it was absolutely dead quiet. Kimberly said, "Sure is quiet in the morning." They're not morning people. But I tell you, wasn't much. They come and visit you in the afternoon, you try and get a word in edgewise. They're true Amundsen Hansen's children. Let us make an effort to smile, not only in the house of the Lord. You know, one thing I've learned when we found out we went to India, it doesn't matter if you're a Hindu or Buddhist or anybody. In India, they all smile at you, even the children. You look at them and you smile at them, they just give you this radiant smile. And I appreciate it so much. And I think it's a way of ministering to others, because there are a lot of down people in the world today. And a smile can lift a person from being down and not feeling the best. Amen. Psalms 96. Before we sing, I would like to tell you about an experience that I had as a young man. I'm talking to you young people as much as anything. I was 15 years old. And the brethren decided to have a camp meeting in Western United States, actually in the city of Portland, Oregon. They made all the arrangements for this camp meeting. And my sister and brother-in-law came to our home, and my sister just had a baby, Randy Witter. And they came to spend a few days with my mom and dad, and Signe had decided to stay with my mom, and Doug was going to go down, Brother Witter was going to go down to the camp meeting alone. And I wanted to go so bad. I'd been at the North Battleford camp and come back home with them when they came out to Vancouver, and I wanted to go. And I asked my dad if I could go. He said, "Well," he thought I'd be a nuisance to Doug, right? And I didn't know what to do, and I really felt in my heart to go. I just like wanted to go so bad. You ever been a young people and you want to do something and dad says no? Anybody put their hand up? Oh, I got more than one hand. I got quite a few. Anyways, I went to my sister Signe and I said, "I really would like to go. I promise I won't be a bother to Uncle Doug. Do you think you could talk to my dad?" And she went and talked to my dad. And the night before Doug was preparing to go, Dad, I can still see that round table, Dad sitting at the end, you know. Dad turned to me and he said, "You really want to go to camp with Uncle Doug, don't you?" And I said, "Yes, I do." He says, "Well, you better start packing your bags." I'll never remember that experience. I'll never forget that experience. For two reasons. One, Brother Witter had spent the winter, Brother and Sister Witter spent the winter in Toronto, and it was when the church was being established there, and it happened to be the year there was Billy Graham crusade, just before he came back from Toronto, and he had attended some of the meetings, and that was where Billy Graham's, for the first time, sang "How Great Thou Art." And Doug, you know, Doug, he was very musical, and he brought that song to the camp in Portland, Oregon that summer, and we sang it and sang it, And there was that whole camp, it was just, it was an amazing, amazing camp of praise and worship and rejoicing in the Lord. And one night, there was this beautiful singing. And then it just got quiet. And the one sitting at the piano began to play in the spirit. And when she had finished, somebody else was standing there as well. Five different individuals went to that piano and played the most beautiful, beautiful music. Let us not lose that in our meetings. You that have that gift of playing the piano, I would ask that you would just seek God to give you the freedom that when the Lord tells you just to play something, you just play. And you can walk right up to here and stand behind the person and wait, and they will gladly move aside as you minister accordingly. That's a gift that God has given to this company of people that we've appreciated, and we sure don't want to lose that, do we? And do it at home too, please. You know, we've heard such beautiful worship here and praising the Lord with our mouths. Take that home with you to your local church. Take that singing, that rejoicing that's been on our hearts here, and take it home with you when you go home. Would you do that? Amen. You'll be a wonderful blessing to the local church, and God will increase it as you're willing to do it. Psalms 96, verses 1 and 2. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Amen. Let us sing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Let us stand. For those that don't... It's on page 99. And it comes from the Psalm 100. And just sing with all, I want you to just sing with all your heart today. Just sing with all of your heart. Remember, you're not trying to impress the person beside you, the person behind you. What you're doing is expressing your praise to Jesus. Amen. While we were yet sinners, Jesus went to the cross on our behalf and died for us. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. And we should be so appreciative of the work of the cross of the work of the cross of Calvary. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Sing that and just wave to him. Praise God. Why not? He's the most wonderful person that ever stood on this terra firma. Amen.
We often greet people, we wave at them. Why not wave to Jesus today and raise your hands and surrender to Him? Oh, if you have come to these meetings and you haven't given your heart to Jesus, please don't walk out those back doors without committing your life to Jesus. There's no better time than right this moment to give your heart to Jesus. Amen? And recommit your life to Him. Amen.
Make a joyful noise to the
sing with my mouth, I will make noise. I didn't know the right words until my sister told me one day I was singing it wrong. But it's a joyful noise, amen? That is so beautiful what I am hearing today. God's people just praising God with all of their hearts. Amen. Sing it again.
I will sing.
Thank you.
somebody and they give you what we call a limp handshake? Have you ever had that experience where you go to shake some? You know, you're not quite sure if they really want to shake your hand or not. You know? And sometimes we can clap, but just sort of. If ever there was a time to clap with all your ability, now is the time. Amen. Amen. Use those 10 instruments. Every time I clap, I don't know about every time, but many, many times when I start clapping, I say, thank you, Lord, I've got 10 fingers. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. All the different things we can do just by having 10 fingers. Not just clap the Lord, but all the things that you do in your ministry. You use your hands for so many things, so let's be thankful for them. Let's sing it one more time. And clap with all your might.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever.
Thank you.
Let's turn to page 66, and let's just sing the verse for the song we were just singing, I Will Praise Him.
Praise God.
Let's start with the chorus first.
I will praise Him.
Thank you this morning that you have come to stand in our midst and speak to us through these songs, and that you have given us this wonderful opportunity to praise you
and to worship you and to thank you for your saving grace. We thank you that you died for all of our sins, no matter what we have done in the past. You are willing to forgive us of our past, and we can begin a new life in you. We can turn a new chapter and turn our back on the things that we struggled with in the past, and we can ask you, Holy Spirit, to help us, to strengthen us, to walk a holy life before you. And we offer our thanks to you that this is available to each one of us who call upon you. Oh, Lord, our hearts are overwhelmed with thankfulness today. And we praise you and we worship you. And Lord, as we turn the meeting over to our brother Andy and he ministers from the word, Lord, give us a receptive heart for what you have to say to us today. May we not say, well, that's not for me, or this is not for me. Let us just, Lord, with the help of your Holy Spirit, accept the word of God as it applies to each one as individuals. Because we know, Lord Jesus, if we are willing to accept the things that you are speaking to our individual hearts about that need a little adjustment or correction, Lord, you can give us the strength to follow through in it if we seek you with all of our hearts. So we praise you and we bless Brother Andy as he comes forward now to give us your word. This we ask in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. You may be seated.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. This is a happy meeting. There are so many miracles that happen at camp that you're not aware of. Brother Marcus touched on that a little bit too. I was just thinking as he just prayed right now, the very words of his prayer, I think that he read my notes already. And what a great preparation. But anyway, just before we start, I'm going to have you stand just for one more minute. This is a happy group. I want you to turn to someone beside you and shake their hand and tell them that God loves them and you love them too. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, amen. Praise God. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's don't get carried away here. Praise the Lord. Okay, you can be seated. We're a happy group. Everybody back out there in the internet, God bless you. We love you. God loves you and we love you. Before I start on my notes, I want to read you some actual church bulletin bloopers that have been taken out of various church bulletins across the country, typos and mispronunciations and so forth. These are little statements in different church bulletins. The Reverend Merriweather spoke briefly, much to the delight of the audience. So I hope you don't feel that way tonight. On a church building during the minister's illness, it said, God is good. Dr. Hargreaves is better. Applications are now being accepted for two-year-old nursery workers. The pastor will preach his farewell message, after which the choir will sing, Break Forth into Joy. Next Sunday, Mrs. Vinson will be soloist for the morning service. The pastor will then speak on, It's a Terrible Experience. Barbara remains in the hospital and needs blood donors for more transfusions. She is also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of Pastor Nelson's sermons. During the absence of our pastor, we enjoyed the rare privilege of hearing a good sermon when J.F. Stubbs supplied our pulpit. Irving Benson and Jesse Carter were married on October 24 in the church, so ends a friendship that began in their school days. The eighth graders will be presenting Shakespeare's Hamlet in the church basement on Friday at 7 p.m. The congregation is invited to attend this tragedy. Don't let worry kill you off. Let the church help. Praise God. I want to talk to you today about first I want to mention last night we had the offering for the foreign field. And we also want to mention, we're so thankful for what God is doing in the Caribbean. The Lord has been moving throughout all the islands of the sea for many, many years. And in a lot of ways, the islands have been far ahead of what we call foreign fields. They've been far ahead. They've had a central fund for decades and have operated on the tithes of the saints and a central fund. And we just give thanks for the great work that God is doing all over the earth, the Caribbean and all over the earth. I want to talk today about grudges. I'll use the word grudges. I'll explain what that is in just a moment here. And unforgiveness. Some of the things that I'm going to teach you will actually make you healthier. This is a short excerpt from an article from CBN Magazine, June 22nd, 2015, speaking about unforgiveness. Now, this was taken, this article was from a cancer research center, so the focus is kind of along the lines of cancer, but this article says this: unforgiveness, from CBN, is classified in medical books as a disease, according to Dr. Stephen Staniford, chief of surgery at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Refusing to forgive makes people sick and keeps them that way. With that in mind, forgiveness therapy is now being used to help treat diseases. Forgiveness therapy. I hadn't heard that word before. It's important to treat emotional wounds or disorders because they really can hinder someone's reaction to the treatments, even someone's willingness to pursue treatment, Staniford explained. Of all his patients, 61% have forgiveness issues, and of those, more than half are severe, according to this research. Harboring these negative emotions, this anger and hatred, creates a state of chronic anxiety, he said. So learning to forgive, learning how not to hold grudges, is really good for your health. It's good for your health. So I'm going to teach you how to be healthy. Grudges, forgive me for reading a little bit here, but I'm kind of a note guy. It's an ugly word, isn't it? Grudges. We'll just lump it together and say grudges. Grudges can sap the happiness and unity out of our life and out of our relationships. Grudges are like an ever-present dark cloud holding our emotions and happiness hostage. They just get a hold of you. It's like this dark cloud that's over you. It's been said that when you hold a grudge, you want someone else's sorrow to reflect your level of hurt, but the two rarely meet. When you hold a grudge, you want someone else's sorrow to reflect your level of hurt, but the two rarely meet. They rarely meet. The word grudge, it's a noun and it's a verb. In the noun form, it means a grudge is a persistent feeling of ill will or resentment resulting from a past insult or injury. And as a verb, it means being resentfully unwilling to give, grant, or allow something. So it's a noun and a verb. It's an ugly word. Holding a grudge should not be part of the Christian experience, and yet it is. It is. And it is for one reason. It's because we all struggle from the effects of sin. Our sins are forgiven, but we all struggle under that burden and the effects of our sin. There was a statement here, I was looking for it here, it talks about that holding a grudge is like drinking rat poison and then hoping that the rat dies. And in reality, who are you hurting? You know, you're not hurting the rat, you're hurting yourself. And grudges, they really only hurt one person, and that's you. You're the only one that suffers when you hold a grudge. It doesn't hurt the other person. However, we're offered to live beyond the dictates of our sinful nature by the use of a powerful force. We can go beyond the effects of these grudges. A force that should be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and a force that is within our reach, and that force is the power of choice. I'm kind of a choice guy. I feel that your entire life is a series of choices that you make. And you have a lot of control over the choices that you make. Everybody in this room got up this morning and you made a series of choices. You chose what you're going to wear. I didn't. I got up and I'm pretty blessed. I'm blessed. I shouldn't share this with you, but I wake up and there's my pants laying there and my shirt and my tie, and I'm color coordinated because someone lays it out for me. I don't have to choose what I'm going to wear. That's kind of unique in our particular home. A lot of times people say, hey, I like your tie, I like your jacket. And I say, you got to thank Debbie for it because she's the one that picked it out and laid it out. But you all make a choice. You got up this morning, you chose when you got up. You chose what you had for breakfast. You chose to be here. We also choose to be offended, believe it or not. That's a choice that you make. Someone may offend you, but you made a choice to be offended. It's actually your choice. You can't say, oh, it wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault I'm offended. Yeah, it really was. You got offended. I was driving down the road the other day. People talk about road rage. And I had a guy on my tail beeping his horn, you know, and waving at me and all that stuff. And I got to admit, I was driving along there and I decided, you know what? I'm not going to speed up one more mile per hour. In fact, I'm going to slow down. And I'm not going to slam on my brakes, but I'm going to slow down. And he's tailgating me, and I hate to admit it, my blood was beginning to boil. How dare this guy, you know, be on my tail like this? And what was happening? I was choosing to be offended by somebody I didn't even know. It's personal choice. It's a choice that we all make. But because it's a choice, we have this power of choice. You can choose not to be offended. You know, what should I have done? I should have said, Lord, I thank you, and I want to pray for that idiot behind me because he obviously needs you. But anyway, a little strong language, but I chose to be offended in that particular case, and I shouldn't have. We choose to be offended. We choose to allow the effects of offenses to grow, shadowing and overpowering all that we do. We can also choose to let offenses and grudges go. It's a choice. You can decide, I'm not going to be like this anymore. I'm going to let it go. I remember years ago, back in the 90s, I had someone at where I worked that same situation just bugged me and bugged me and bugged me. All I could think about was this person. It was eating me up. And I went to North Carolina camp, and it was actually disturbing the camp because I had such a grudge against this lady. Long story short, I went to the altar. I said, Lord, I got a grudge against someone I work with. That is not right. It is actually affecting my ability at this camp to enjoy it. I am sorry. And then I thought, whenever something like that happens, what are you going to do about it? I decided I'm going to go home and I'm going to apologize to this lady. I'm going to swallow my pride and apologize. And I went back home, went to work, called her into the little office. Her name was Terry. And said, Terry, I don't know where we got off on the wrong foot, but I just want to apologize for kind of the way I've been treating you and this little informal war we got going on. I just want you to know I'm really sorry. And of course, she told me why she was the way she was. And I just said, I'm sorry. And then it wasn't long after that, Her husband came down with cancer. She had to stay work off-site. There was only one person that she would talk to through all of this experience. It was me. I became her best friend of all things. But I was choosing to be offended, and I had to choose to let it go. There's an experiment you can do, and I didn't invent this. I read it. It's been passed around quite a bit, and I won't do it now, but you take an experiment. You take a glass of water, and you take 10 people. And if I had 10 glasses of 10 people, we could do it here, and you hold it out, you give it to them, and you say, hold it out front of you like this. And you hold it for 10 seconds or so, and you say, how much does it weigh? Everyone, there's no wrong answer. People will say, oh, it's 6 ounces, maybe 8 ounces. Okay, just keep your arm out there. And then you wait another 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and nothing has changed. And you say, okay, how much does it weigh now? And they all say something like, oh, it's 10 ounces, 12 ounces, 16 ounces. And they say, no, don't put it down. Don't put it down. Just keep it out there. And they keep holding it and holding it and holding it and holding it. And another 20 minutes go by. And most people won't be able to hold it 20 minutes because lactic acid builds up in your arm and your arm needs to be relieved. But what will happen, that glass of water in 20 minutes, 30 minutes will be unbearable. The weight, nothing changed. Nothing changed except the amount of time that you held it. Many times grudges are like that. You have a little grudge. You have a little grudge, and you hold it up there. And then you nurse it. And then you hold on to it. And then that little grudge, it gets bigger and gets heavier. And then even you imagine that it's heavier. You not only imagine it, it feels like it's heavier. And then pretty soon that little bitty grudge of 6 ounces, you can't even bear it anymore. It's like this unbearable weight that you can't even hold anymore. Nothing changed except the amount of time that you held it. Some people hold grudges for decades. Can you imagine how heavy that grudge is when you have a little grudge that you hold for decades? So in the example of the water, how do I reduce the weight of that water? Well, as soon as I pick it up, if it's heavy, I just put it down. That's all. Quit holding it. That's all. Longer I hold it, the heavier it's going to get. If I don't want that thing to be heavy, then the minute I pick it up, put it down. Don't keep holding it out in front of you. That's the way grudges are. That's the way unforgiveness is. The longer you hold that in front of you, keep looking at it and thinking about it, it gets heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier, and then it gets harder to forgive. And then you get into this trap, well, I'll never forgive that person. Or you might say, well, I'll forgive them, but they got to be sorry first. You ever heard that before? Now, how many have heard this? We've all heard this. Well, they said they're sorry, but I know they're really not sorry. That's the other one. So I don't really have to forgive them because they said they're sorry, but I can tell that they're not sorry, so I don't have to forgive them. You know, all those things happen. The longer you hold that out in front of you, the heavier it gets. The longer we hold on to our grudges, offenses, unforgiveness, the heavier it becomes. And there are many scriptures on forgiveness and unity, and I'll list some of them later. But there's some simple steps in eliminating grudges and offenses and unforgiveness. And it's a lot easier than what you think. The Bible is my resource. I like to read, but the Bible is the resource. All the problems of psychology, the world, it's right here, right in the Bible. Right in the Bible. The Apostle Paul provided a simple message regarding disagreements. He was finishing his fantastic epistle titled The Philippians. In this wonderful, historical, and glorious closing, Paul throws in a simple statement without explanation of the details. It's just real subtle. And I've never even heard a message used on this scripture using it for its core. It's almost like an afterthought that he throws in, and it meant a lot to me. I'm going to read to you Philippians 4, verse 2. This is one of those verses that nobody commits to memory because it doesn't mean anything. And yet it does. And yet there's power in this odd verse that he just kind of threw in as he's writing to the church, almost like an afterthought, with no explanation. He just throws it in there. And I'll read it to you. Strange verse. Philippians 4:2. He says, I entreat you, Eudoia, and I entreat Synthia to agree in the Lord. These are two women. There's two women here. He says, I entreat you, agree in the Lord. That's all he says. That's all he says in the verse. I entreat these two women in the church to agree in the Lord. Now, these are two women in that local church. Paul, he never identifies what their disagreement is about. Never talks about the disagreement. He never talks about the weight that's in the glass. Never mentions it. Never talks about the facts. The specific disagreement issue, that wasn't important to Paul. What they were arguing about, what they were disagreeing about, it wasn't an issue to Paul at all. The other thing he did, he didn't take sides. He didn't take sides. He didn't say, one is right, one is wrong. In essence, the Apostle Paul, a man called and ordained by God, he simply commands, and I'm paraphrasing, get over it. As simple as that. Writes to these two women, he says, agree in the Lord. He's basically saying, get over it. Doesn't matter what the disagreement is about. You know, once again, it's back to the water. He's saying, put the glass of water down. Quit holding it. Quit holding the grudge. Quit trying to make yourself right and the other person is wrong. Just agree together. Get over it. Just do it. Just do it. Well, I actually get peace out of that verse. I actually get strength out of that verse. When something is wrong and you need to do the right thing, it's like Paul is saying, just do it. Do the right thing. Quit it. Put the grudge down. How many parents have talked to their children when they're bickering and said, just stop? Sometimes the Lord talks to us like that. Little kids argue over says, insignificant things. They argue because they like to argue. Sometimes we do the same thing. It's like the Lord looks down and says, just get over it. Put it aside. Just get over it. To be wrong is nothing unless you choose to remember it. Being wrong doesn't mean anything unless you choose to remember it. I would encourage us all, it's not always easy to do, to learn to have a short memory. When offenses come your direction, just forget about it. Forget about what someone says is negative or whatever it may be. Something that stuck out in my heart during this camp, different things stick out, and that is how many things we perceive wrongly. How many things we perceive wrongly. You can look at a person and the way they're looking at you, you perceive, oh, that person doesn't like me. Or whatever it may be. And something that really hit me during this camp, we perceive things wrongly a lot. A lot. That guy that was following me in the car, maybe he wanted me to pull over and pray with him. Probably not. Probably not. But we perceive things wrongly. I find that many of the scriptures on unity, there's a passage that really helps me with my weaknesses, and yes, I have a lot of them. Jesus taught us to respect one another, a godly respect for one another, a godly, not just a love, but in the church I'm talking about particularly, he taught us to respect one another. We are to receive and respect one another by recognizing the Christ and the ministry in one another. We should not be so much respecting one another as a human being, but we respect the presence of Christ in one another. There is a portion of Jesus Christ in everybody in this room. And there's a way that you learn to honor and respect the presence of Christ that dwells on every individual in this room. It's different than just respecting someone because we have similar interests or we like the same ball team or whatever. But there's a place where we respect the ministry of Christ and one another. Jesus gave an interesting verse in Matthew 10, verse 40. And it means a lot to me. He said, "Whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives me receives him who sent me." And this next portion, there's a lot of truth in it. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. The one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. He's kind of mentioning someone's ministry, if you will. If you recognize it and receive it, you're rewarded accordingly. Well, you know, what are some parallels on that? There are a lot of different parallels. You have local elders in your church. If you look at those men and you say, well, that's Grandpa or Uncle John or whatever. That's who they are. Well, you got a reward. You got a certain reward. But if you say, that's my elders. That's elders that God set. Those are my elders. An authority, shepherds that the Lord set in the church to protect us. They're set by God. I respect that office. You've just received them as an elder, and you receive a greater reward. If you respect the traveling ministries, they travel the world. If you just say, oh, they're nice guys, they're just a bunch of preachers, you know. There's all kinds of good preachers out there. Well, you'll have a reward. But if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, a ministry in the name of a ministry, you receive a greater reward. There's a reward that goes along with your ability to receive someone based on their ministry, if you will. I look at you. I look at everyone in this room. You have a ministry. There is a portion of Christ in you, and we receive that. We respect that ministry in every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. It's valuable. And that's what we respect. That's what we respect. You walk to the lunch line and someone collects money and someone's feeding you, putting food in your plate. You respect that ministry of service that they're offering to you right now, not just who they are, but you're recognizing Christ right in front of you, serving you, and you receive a greater reward. That's one of the ways you get over grudges. How can I hold a grudge against the Lord? It's the Lord in them. How can I... Maybe I can hold a grudge against that person, but when I see it's Christ in them, how can I hold a grudge against them? I'd be holding it against the Lord. There's an old humorous poem we've all heard. To dwell above with the saints we love, now that will be glory. But to dwell below with the saints we know, now that's another story. It takes work. However, by respecting and loving the presence of Christ in one another, we truly can love and forgive one another. So I encourage all of us to work at walking with the Lord. Let me just rattle off some scriptures to you real quickly. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you are called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another, hanging in there, putting up with one another, bearing with one another in love. One of the key message we've talked about. We've heard wonderful things this week. We always hear wonderful things during camp. But the greatest message, the core, the foundation, is God is love. If we somehow miss out on loving one another, we missed everything. We have missed the whole show. We've missed everything. Bearing with one another in love. You know, it's kind of interesting. It's another subject, but the Lord shares an agape love with us. Agape means a divine, heavenly love that's beyond a natural realm. God loves you with a love that you actually are not capable of loving as humans. A love so phenomenal, you can't explain it. It's not human. It's a godly love. He calls you and I to try to press in to that agape love, that unconditional love for one another. We're pretty weak. The Apostle Peter after he denied Christ, after Jesus was resurrected, he's walking with Jesus, and Jesus said, you know the story, Peter, do you love me more than the rest of these? Jesus said, Peter, do you love me with an agape love, a divine, unconditional, heavenly love? Peter replied, yes, Lord, I love you. He used the word filio, which means, yes, Lord, I love you like a friend. He had just denied Christ three times. He had done a lot of boasting in himself. And it's almost like he realized, I can't boast anymore. I can't even trust myself. Jesus repeated, Peter, do you agape love me more than these? Do you love me with this divine, unconditional, heavenly love? Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you like a friend, filial. He still couldn't say it. And Jesus repeated it again, Peter, do you love me more than these, agape love? And Peter said, yes, Lord, he's weeping. I love you like a friend. He couldn't say, Lord, I got an agape love like you have, because I'm paraphrasing, I thought I had it and I failed you. I denied you. He couldn't trust in himself. The Lord asks us to love with an agape love, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's one body. There's one Spirit. Just so you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. There's one way to heaven. There's one way. Only one way. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. How much should we forgive people? Even as God in Christ forgave you. That's Ephesians 4, verse 31. Complete my joy, Philippians 2, verse 2. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. That's an interesting verse, isn't it? Count other people. You know, we live in a society where we all have an identity. We're important because we're whatever it is. And here he says, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. We sometimes have a problem, not a problem, but when we gather together before the meeting, you know, who's going to minister, who's going to lead, and we look to the Lord. Well, I'll lead, but unless someone else wants to, you know, everyone's ready to lay it down. Why? Because we consider others more significant than ourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Romans 12:16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. And I like to say there are no lowly, but there are people that the world considers lowly. But associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. You know, I did a study one time, and it's hard to put it in words, on what's the worst sins possible. And if I were to say, what do you think the worst sins are in the Bible that the Lord would hate the most? You might say murder would be number one, and there'd be other sins. But if you really get down to it, there's one sin the Lord seems to hate above all other sins: arrogance, pride. He hates arrogance and pride. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Colossians 3:13, bear with each other, forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Mark 11:25, and when he stood standing, Jesus, he said, this is what Jesus said, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. That's pretty powerful. He says, if you got anything against anybody else, this is Jesus speaking, you forgive them so that God can forgive you. We don't talk about that much, but it's almost like a prerequisite. You want to be forgiven? We have altar calls. You know, come and get your sins, have your sins forgiven, and we invite people up and they're forgiven. But Jesus says, you want to be forgiven? Then you got to forgive other people first. That's what he says. Forgive others first. I'm going to throw one last thing at you, and I'm going to close. Kind of a side note. I wish to mention about social media and grudges and unforgiveness. There's a psychological phenomenon, I don't know what you would call it on social media, where people will sometimes say the meanest things to one another in social media, things that they would never say face to face. I'm sure there's a reason behind it. And I don't know why it's so easy to take sides against our own friends and loved ones on social media. It's almost like there's a psychological reason behind it. But I'd like to give you some guidelines. What does the Bible say about our conversation? Our conversation to one another, conversation in written text to one another, social media. Paul never talked about Facebook or anything. But he gave some good advice, I think, that applies to social media and to speaking to one another and to our conversation in the corner over here or in the yard. And this is it. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. That's just good guidelines for human conversation to one another. That's one of the things I appreciate about the camp. Someone mentioned it. You look at the campgrounds, there's 500 different conversations going on during the day, and if you were to walk up on them, you would hear the Lord's name mentioned in most of them. Something good about God. Wasn't that great what we heard yesterday morning? Brother Calvin talked about culture. Whatever it may be. I mean, all day long there's conversations. Things that are praiseworthy. Things that are good. You walk away from camp feeling really, really good. Really, really inspired. Imagine if we came here and all we talked about was our political preference or this guy or that guy, whatever it may be. But we talk about things that are praiseworthy. And then the last thing, this is something I don't even know who wrote this, I've heard it repeated many times. There's an old saying that before you repeat a matter to somebody face to face, you hear some gossip, you want to repeat it. You want to repeat it on social media. You want to repeat it on a text message, face to face. There's supposed to be three questions you're supposed to ask yourself. You hear some juicy gossip. You hear something about somebody. There's three questions you're supposed to ask yourself before you repeat it. Number one, is it true? Is it really true what you just heard? It could be. It might not be. Number two, is it kind? What I'm going to say, is it kind? And the last one, is it really necessary? Is it even necessary? As human beings, we make excuses. We do things like this. I just heard something bad about so-and-so, and I want to tell you so we can pray for that person. You know, what I'm going to tell you is not good news. It's pretty bad, and I don't want you to tell anybody else. That's a flag for saying tell everybody you know. But I'm going to tell you a secret here, something bad about somebody, and I'm only telling you because we need to pray for that person. Well, here's what you do. You ask yourself, wait a minute, before you tell me that, is it true? Well, yeah, it's true. Is it kind? Well, it may not be kind. Is it necessary? No, it's not necessary. Telling people at camp that be aware that there's been some ticks found in the grass in different places, that's necessary. That's true, and that's kind, and that's necessary. Talking about faults and weaknesses, sins, mistakes, things like that one another does, it may be true even. Most likely isn't kind, and it most likely isn't necessary. So anyway, Heavenly Father, I just pray that you take these words etch them into our hearts, along with all the wonderful truths that have been shared during this camp. We pray your blessings on the remainder of this afternoon and day and the activities of the day. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. And I will mention these notes. If you're interested in these notes, I believe these notes are in the next Sharon Star, so you'll have a copy of them then. Announcements, please.
The young people will be meeting at 1:30 this afternoon, and even, I guess, before young people's, if you're helping out with Fun Day, that will be between dinner and young people's, so we have time to get to ball after young people's. And ball is for everybody as well.
So this is a message for the children. We have planned a Fun Day for you. If you could meet in the cloud room at 2:00, and we'll get you organized in your groups, and then we'll go out to see what's all set up there to play with. And those that are setting up, if you could meet right after lunch, I would say 1:15-ish, 1:00, as soon as you can. Anyway, out on the grass between the canteen and the playground, and Daryl Amundsen is there to help coordinate that. Is there anything else I was supposed to say? Okay. And also, Canada is 150 years old. So if you want to wear your Canada gear, your red and whites, or if you're from a different country, God forbid, but anyway, if you are from a different country, you'd like to wear your colors and just have a great time celebrating, being together with us, we would welcome that. So anyway, that's sort of, yes, Daryl. Oh, yes. Just so you're aware, children, you probably will get wet. So make sure that you wear clothes that it's okay to get wet in. And just a word of caution, the face paints are oil-based. And so if they get on your clothes, they can stain. So just be aware of that. Don't send your child in their best linen suit, you know, so.
Sorry, Andy, no more Mr. Nice Guy. I need two names, one name. I need another young guy. I wanna just say this before a young guy puts up his hand. Mike Greif has been working with the boys' dorm, and they have had some unbelievable times before the Lord at the end of the day. They've had some wonderful discussions, and one of the things that I think is, this has kind of come up, I think that is becoming more important, is that we have one of you older young men involved in it as well, because Beckett, where is Beckett? I've become his best little friend. I was teasing him, just, and he was so scared of me. He ran away from his dad, ran around his dad, and he was just scared stiff of me. And then we had a real nice talk about his grandpa's bees, and he went on and on and on about his grandpa's bees. And when we were singing, I looked over at him, and he was looking at me. He was wondering what I was doing, because I'm his best friend now. Young men and young women, you have eyes on you all the time. Walk carefully before the Lord. And don't be afraid to volunteer tonight. So you're going to get to enjoy time with Stuart and one other young man. Thank you. Oh, and also the ladies, if you, we got room for another lady here too, so if you want to just put your name there or show up, we need one more lady.
Thank you.
For those of you with belts on, please pull them one notch tighter. Lunch won't be ready for another 20 minutes. They're asking for 20 minutes time frame. They just sent me over. So you're welcome to stand in line, but just be warned that it's 20 minutes till the food will be ready.
My announcement kind of follows up from what Calvin said. I've had some questions in my mind about the flow of the meal lines here. And so I went to the highest source, and that is the head cook in the kitchen. And I said, are we getting it right? And she said, not really. The idea for especially lunch, when there is a surge of people that come from here or there, is to wait until they're ready to serve you. And we've been a little loose on that practice. We have had a tendency to go this way or through the washrooms and not through the meal line. There certainly are some exceptions where you have to be through there quicker. But please don't make yourself just an automatic exception to the rule. And I'm trying to say this and avoid 450 grudges here. So, if we could sort of make a more common practice to treat 12:15 as the time when lunch is ready, then we can, like, supper is our evening meal is at 5:30. That's a time we're all familiar with, and breakfast is at 7:30, and we're familiar with that time. Lunch tends to be a little more organic, but it's causing a little bit extra stress in those who are attempting to get ready for the surge. So just keep a couple of those points in mind. I would appreciate it. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, we owe you all the thanks for your many blessings. Lord, help us where we fail. Lord, give us the strength to just love one another. Go with us now in our fellowship and throughout the rest of the day. Lord, we just pray for your watchful eye and your protecting hand to be upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.